Radio.
Het is lente. Je wordt er vrolijk van.
De Winkelwagenshow.
Ja, u hebt er allemaal op zitten wachten. Hier zijn ze. De 10 seconden van...
Hi there, this is Roger Hodgson and I'm talking to Peter on the Winkelwagenshow. I hope you join us.
Ja, mooi hè.
I'm so proud to present the next guest on my show. When I was a young schoolboy, I listened to the live tracks of the double album Paris with my headphones on and my eyes closed. I imagined that I was that brilliant piano player. And now, this day, 29 years later, he's coming into my radio zoo. Please attention for the well-known singer-songwriter, Mr. Roger Hodgson.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And welcome on Holland.
I'm doing wonderfully. It's wonderful to be here again.
To be again? You're coming very often here?
Well, quite often. Every year. But this is actually my second year for the Hague Festival.
Do you like the Hague?
I love it, yeah. And it's the festival is a very special event. But it's a very beautiful city, obviously. And
it's worldwide well-known.
Yeah, I know. I can feel it. It's like walking into a bubble of music and musicians, and the atmosphere is very wonderful here.
And there are so many musicians there.
I know.
Unbelievable. So many stage.
I know. It's incredible.
Okay. Going back to the history, you formed together with Rick Davies in 1969 a music marriage called Supertramp. Well, was that easy to do within the period?
You know, starting a band, I think, is never easy. We struggled for 4 or 5 years you know, doing what every band has to do with no money and just trying to find enough money to get gas to get to the next town, next concert. But, you know, it made us into a band, and it gave us a lot of life experience. And then eventually, after going through a lot of different lineups in the musicians, Rick and I found John Helliwell and Doogie and Bob, the rhythm section. Mm-hmm. And we knew we had the band, and we were also ready with the songs, too. We had a lot of songs written, and the record company heard them and believed in us. And so from that point forward, they supported us.
Okay. About supporting, I wrote a story that one of the first managers of Supertramp was known as the Dutch millionaire. But was he really a Dutchman?
He was a Dutchman. He was actually living in Geneva, though. Sam Mitsigeis. He was Dutch.
But, okay. And he was sponsoring Supertramp in the first period.
He was Supertramp's first manager, mm-hmm. and he had never managed a band before. He was a music lover, and he wasn't good enough himself to be a musician. But he really believed in Rick, and he believed in myself, and so he supported us when we really needed support. And I'm very grateful to him.
Mm-hmm. Was it true that you and Rick totally split the work of making new songs? Each of you go and do it on your own way?
Well, when we first started, we did write together. But then from Indelibly Stamped, which was our second album, and all the albums after that, we wrote totally separately. So all the songs that I wrote and sang, like Dreamer and Give a Little Bit, Breakfast in America, Take the Long Way Home, School, etc. Those any songs with the high voice, those are my songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rick's the other voice, Bloody Well Right, Goodbye Stranger, Moody, etc.
Yeah!
After 40 years, there comes an end to your Supertramp period.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice was to be a father for your upgrowing kids. How difficult was it for you personally? Because your heart was completely filled with music and Supertramp success. Wasn't it a strange period when you returned back to your home and your family?
Well, it was. It had been 14 years, and it had been a wonderful adventure. But I think the biggest thing was that Supertramp was my life. It was my passion and my driving force and my belief and my perfectionist tenaciousness that made the band very much as successful as it was. I mean, I was really very much the driving force behind it. So it was my baby, if you like. I felt like it was. And so, yes, it was very difficult to let go of it. But you know, I've always believed that you have to follow your heart. And my heart was really telling me that that phase of my life was complete. And for the next phase, I needed to take a break from the music industry and build a home and build a safe and leave Los Angeles and go to a more healthy place to raise my children, who were very young, and I realized that I needed to stop to...
You want to be a father for them?
To be with them and learn how to be a father, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many people know that you wrote songs like Dreamer, Give a Little Bit, and It's Raining Again, at a very young age, before you step into Supertramp?
Right. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people don't even know I wrote them. I mean, obviously... People think of Give a Little Bit and Dreamer as Supertramp songs, but actually they were my songs before I even recorded them with Supertramp.
Mm-hmm.
But if they come to my shows now, they understand very much because I tell the audience where the songs came from and some stories about the songs and what was my thinking behind the songs. But yes, my teenage years, late teenage, 18, 19, were very fertile. Music was really where I went to express my dreams, my hopes, my longing for love, my sadness, whatever was going on inside me. I used to pick up an instrument and express it. And so all those songs, It's Raining Again, Fool's Overture, Dreamer, Give a Little Bit, they all came from very special moments. And it was a very fertile time. I didn't sit down and try to write a hit song. I had no idea at that point that these songs would become as famous as they have become.
But then they say,
Yeah, you write those songs as a young boy with a typical view into the world. 40 years later, now you're 60. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to write such a songs again?
You know, that, funny enough, writing actually comes quite easily to me now. Mm-hmm. I really believe if you're an artist, there's no reason why you should lose your creativity. And I certainly have not lost mine. Mm-hmm. I think getting away from the music industry was very, very good for me. I'm very, very happy now, looking back, that I did take a break, because I'm coming back now and people are saying, boy, you sound better than ever. You sound better than you did with Supertramp. You're singing better than Supertramp. I play some new songs in the show and they say, oh my God, they're wonderful. When are you going to record them?
Yeah.
So I really believe if you're an artist, there's, you know, great painters are painting their best works when they're 70. Why are musicians not the same?
But because I think as a young boy, you have so many questions in your young life.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age of 60, most of that questions are answered.
No. Well, you know, I think that's the wonderful thing about the mystery of life. I think the more questions you get answered,
uh-huh.
The more questions that arise. I mean, I think I love questions. That keeps you looking and searching and growing. And
it makes you strong.
Yeah, it makes you strong. If anyone who thinks they have all the answers, I think, is dead.
Yeah. Are you afraid of that?
No, not at all. No,
not at all. Okay.
No, I'm. No, I don't believe death is the end. I think, you know, we go home after death, and life is like being at school. We come here to learn, to grow, to learn how to love. I really believe that's the reason we're here, is to learn love.
Did you ever tell this story into a song of you?
Most of my songs actually are about this. You know, if you think of the logical song,
mm-hmm.
it is asking the question, please tell me who I am.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And a lot of my songs, Lord Is It Mine, I'm searching. A lot of my songs actually are love songs to God. A lot of my longing
mm-hmm.
and my passion came from wanting to know God. And now I understand more who and what God is. I mean, I really believe God is love, and
mm-hmm.
and love is God, and we are here to really understand the depths of love. Love is a huge word that encompasses a lot of things: compassion, kindness, caring. But basically, we feel God, and we get to know God in our hearts.
Yeah.
And
that's important. That's important in these days that you feel God in your life.
Well, you know, God is in our hearts. That's where we can feel God. Mm. And I think we are in the messes we're in, mankind, because we have lost touch with our hearts. If we live too much in our minds. And I think life is a balance of living from the mind and the heart. And if we were more connected to our hearts, then we couldn't do the things we do to each other or to the planet.
There's not a lot I can
It's very typical that young people find magical songs of Supertramp again.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the hits, but also songs like Rudy, Bloody All Right, and the Soapbox Opera.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they listen to the old songs is we can learn something from the period.
Well, every song, I mean, we really didn't do shallow songs. I mean, Rick and I were both very, very different as people. We wrote, but we wrote from our own life experience, and I think a lot of the songs, certainly for me, a lot of my songs, Give a Little Bit, is even more relevant today than when I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
We really do need to give a little bit and care more about what's going on around us and about life and what we're doing to each other and the planet. And even Logical Song, I mean, there's even more confusion today than I think when I wrote the song. So, so a lot of the songs have not aged, even with the lyrics. They're still very current.
But what's the biggest difference between you and Rick? And not the voice, but...
I think the biggest... you know, we were similar in some ways, but I think for me, I was always very... I was really interested in the mystery of life. I wanted to know the meaning of life. I wanted to know God. And Rick is not... he's not into spiritual things.
Okay.
He writes about different things. So... it was hard for him. Actually, a lot of my songs he couldn't relate to, and sometimes didn't even like. So
he understands your songs?
No, he didn't understand a lot of them.
Okay.
He did not.
You explained the songs to him, so?
No, he didn't really ask. I think he knew that. I think he trusted that my instinct, because I knew I was kind of more the arranger, and the more I chose the songs, and I always had a lot more songs than he did. And I had much more drive and passion. I mean, he was a wonderful musician and he a great songwriter, but it was my drive and my orchestration and my producing really that put everything together. And he trusted my instincts because they had proved, you know, they were right. So, but that didn't mean that he understood my songs or even liked them. Look, Breakfast in America or Lord Is It Mine, he didn't even like, so.
I hear only what I want to hear, but I have to believe in something. Have to believe just the one thing I say. Father Washington, you're all mixed up, collecting sinners in an old tin cup. But oh, I am just a beginner.
Giel Beelen en Sander. Giel Music, Edwin Evers, Slam FM, Studio Brussel, 3FM en Radio 538. Iedereen luistert met afschuw naar de parasiet van de radio. Peter van Vlokhoven. En ook jouw radio is besmet.
Hi there, this is Roger Hodgson and I'm with Peter on the Winkle Wagon Show.
Als je morgen mee wilt praten, kun je vandaag maar beter luisteren.
Tonight. If you have a ticket for your concert, what can the people expect tonight?
Well, tonight I have a brand new band. I've just come back from South America with them. They're a wonderful bunch of musicians, and so they're going to hear the songs. I mean, last year they heard my songs with an orchestra, and this year they'll hear them with a wonderful band. And it's going to be a great show.
Okay, look into the future. Composing new work as a singer-songwriter?
Yes, well, I've got, I think I told you, I have about 60 songs already waiting to go on record, or some of them anyway.
So many?
So many, yeah. But they were, you know, not written just in the last few years, written over the last 30 years. I've always had a huge backlog. So I hope to get them out on record.
Uh-huh.
Right now, as you know, Supertramp is out on tour as well.
Yeah. They are coming in October in Holland.
I know.
Part
of me, I have mixed feelings about it, because part of me is happy that Rick is touring again, but unfortunately, the way they've announced this tour, they've announced it as the Greatest Hits Tour. And the problem is that most of my songs were the hits.
Yes.
And so, unfortunately, the promoters and Supertramp are advertising their tour with my songs and sometimes my voice. And so it is not in integrity.
Yeah. So you say nobody's coming up from the Cannibal Run, but they're all coming from school and Breakfast in America.
Well, I think a lot of the public, I think the reason I'm unhappy about it is because I don't like the public being fooled.
Yeah.
And they were before. There were a lot of fans told me, a lot of the public told me that in 2002, when they last toured, they went to the concerts expecting to see me at the concerts.
but it's easy, Roger. If you listen to Supertramp,
you
expect a high voice.
I know.
Because that is the voice of Supertramp.
I understand. Well, but, you know, when I left Supertramp, when Rick and I ended our partnership in 1983, the agreement was that Rick was going to continue with Supertramp by himself, and it was going to become a vehicle for his songs and his music alone.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knew that, and everyone understood that, and that I would go and begin a solo career with my songs and my voice, and that would be my future.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, we agreed, we shook hands, and for 5 or 6 years, that's how it was. Rick did a tour playing all his own songs, and he made a great album, Brother Where You Bound.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the way things were supposed to be. But then in 6 years later, he succumbed to whatever pressures he was under, and he had one of the musicians in his band sing 3 of my songs, and that was a very bad, very sad day for our relationship, because I felt very betrayed.
Surrender.
And then he's selecting a singer, Mike Hart, from Carter's House, mm-hmm. to sing your songs.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met Mark?
I did meet him, actually, about 2 months ago. I met him in Australia, and he's a very nice man. And he felt terrible.
He feels terrible?
He felt terrible. He did not enjoy singing my songs at all. He felt very awkward, but he did it because Rick asked him to, but he said he was always very, very uncomfortable singing my songs because, you know, he knew that a lot of the fans, and he saw that a lot of the fans in the audience were mm-hmm. very unhappy about it, and he didn't enjoy it. I mean, so he told me that, and the other thing that happened was Doogie, the bass player, he even left Supertramp because he was so disgusted by the fact that Supertramp started playing my song. So mm-hmm. there's a lot behind this, and it's just very unfortunate what's happening this year because Rick believes that he has to, in order to sell tickets, they have to advertise their show with my songs and my voice. And here I am on my own tour singing my songs, and I wish that, you know, we're in competition. It doesn't have to be in competition.
No. It's a little bit strange because now you can see Supertramp as a car without wheels. That's strange.
Yeah.
How's your relationship with Rick nowadays?
Well, if it wasn't for this situation, it would be okay. We had coffee a couple of years ago, and we spoke a few times, and we came close to doing a project together. But at the time, he did not want to tour with the other three members of the band because they had been in a lawsuit, and Rick was very hurt by that. And I was sad to hear that, but we looked at the two of us doing a project together for a few months. Unfortunately, for various reasons, that did not work. So I continued to book my solo tour, and then 6 months later, suddenly I hear that Rick is touring with with John and Bob again.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that, I sent an email to him saying, "Is this true that you're going on tour?" And since then, I have actually offered, because one of the things that I really believe is the fans And I know the fans are wanting me to get up on stage with Rick.
Yeah.
So I have offered to Rick to do that. If he would like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's he's the problem, not you.
Well, yes. I mean, I've offered. I've spoken to Rick's agent, and basically, so far, they've said no.
Huh.
So we'll see what happens. But I'm hoping for the fans that it may happen, because this is probably the last time that may be possible.
Mm-hmm. The last years, the coming years. Is
yes.
there a possibility to do it together?
Well, Rick is, Rick was already retired. I mean, I'm very happy he's coming out of retirement to do this, but he's 66, I think. And
yeah, he was 60. Six years old, or younger. Yeah.
I'm a spring chicken.
Spring chicken. That's wonderful. It was a wonderful story, Roger.
Uh-huh.
I wish you a very good performance tonight in The Hague. It's up to you, your last famous words in this radio item.
My last famous words. Well, I feel like one of the luckiest men on the planet. I have a gift that people like. I'm an artist who has created songs, who has written songs that have touched people around the world. And my job is to travel around the world and meet all these wonderful people and play from my heart these great songs that I still love to sing. And make people happy and take them back and into remembering some wonderful memories that the songs may bring back for them. And it's wonderful to see so many generations now. I'm seeing a lot more young people who are discovering my songs, which makes me very happy. So I'm going to continue doing this for as long as I can, because I feel like I really enjoy and want to give a little bit of my love in every way I can. And that's what I try and do with my life. So I hope whoever's listening, I can play for you sometime.
And I think your music and your voice is timeless.
Well, so far it is. I'm very happy about that.
When you go home tonight, you must take the long way home.